Hi, everybody. Welcome back to WFAN's Baseball Insiders Yankees podcast for Friday, May 14th. The Yankees took 2 out of 3 against the Rays in St. Pete. Would have been nice to sweep that series. The Yankees haven't won a three-game series, swept a three-game series, at Tropicana Field since 2015. They had a chance on Thursday night, but got blown out, 9-1 loss. Sometimes those are a little bit better. You don't blow out your bullpen. Jameson Taillon got knocked around again, and his ERA is almost 5.5 now into the second week in May. Let's start with the good part of the series, winning 2 out of 3 and winning a series against a team that they'd lost 5 of the first 6 meetings to in a building they hadn't had a whole lot of fun in. Certainly, they pitched very well, and Gerrit Cole's performance the other night was just tremendous, as has been almost every game he's pitched since joining the Yankees. He has given the Yankees their money's worth here in the early going, which puts even more of a premium on making sure you don't waste this part of Gerrit Cole. You're paying him a lot of money for a long time, and certainly 6, 7, 8 years from now, you're going to have a lot of different results out of him when he's pitching as well maybe as he ever has. It's important not to waste this and kind of follow through here as you're looking to become a championship team. So a lot is involved in that, but we'll get to some more of that as we get going. The rest of the pitching staff has done actually pretty well for the last couple of weeks here. The Yankees just went through 14 straight games in which their starters pitched at least 5 innings. Okay, a little bit of a low benchmark, but it's still pretty important. It means you're not getting knocked out early, blown out early. 5 innings from a starting pitcher, 14 games in a row, and the Yankees went 11-3 in those 14 games. Taillon broke that streak last night when he pitched only 4 2/3. He had 95 pitches. He struck out 9 batters, so the swing and miss stuff is still there. But he got into trouble with 2 outs, as he has had in the past. Home run ball in the 3rd inning, a 2-run single in the 1st. Not all the contact was hard, but some of it was, and it's just a little inconsistency with him. And I think this is the difference, as I'm kind of seeing it now, between Corey Kluber and Jameson Taillon. You've seen Kluber steadily improve here, and he wasn't really all that worried. His injuries weren't all that traumatic or invasive when you consider what he had to go through in missing most of the last 2 years, compared to Jameson Taillon, who was coming back from his 2nd Tommy John surgery. Obviously a pretty big endeavor. And on top of that, he recognized that needing Tommy John a 2nd time meant his delivery was flawed, and he went through rebuilding that. So while he was doing all that in a rehab process and a comeback process, now he's seeing it in real time in game action for the first time. And a handful of starts, really, is all he's had to go on over the course of the last month and change. So now you're seeing it in real time, real action, results that count. And it's just taking a little bit longer than, say, Kluber, who is more of a veteran, a little bit older, a little more familiar with his mechanics and his delivery, and knowing what it takes to get to this point. Kluber has come along very well after a couple of rough outings, and he's looking more and more like the guy that the Yankees hoped he'd find, they would find with him. And now it's just a matter of making sure that he stays strong throughout the course of the season. Taillon, you want the same thing. You want him to stay strong throughout the year, toward the end of the year, but you need to get him into a place where he's comfortable, and it just doesn't seem that way. A little start and stop with him. As I said, on Thursday night, a lot of swing and miss stuff is still there. The 9 strikeouts will attest to that, and okay, Tampa Bay's an extremely high strikeout team, but you're still seeing some flashes of what he can be right there, and maybe it's just taking longer because we kind of underestimated what he's coming back from. The Yankees rolled the dice on Jameson Taillon being a potential number 2 or 3 type of guy here in this rotation. Well, they're going to have to give this a little bit longer, and they will, as long as he's healthy, and every indication is that he is healthy, then you're going to just kind of want to see him build to this. And I don't think there's an easy answer. I've talked to some people who are familiar with Tyone and have seen him in the past. And from what they're seeing, it's a fixable problem. It's a delivery issue. It's a mechanic issue. And that's just something that's going to come with more consistency. And again, just thinking about the idea that maybe we underestimated how much time he needs to get back to this after having missed so much time and also having to deal with reworking his delivery, maybe, you know, a couple of starts, a handful of starts, wasn't the ideal time frame. It might take a little bit longer, so we'll see. As long as Gerrit Cole is leading the rotation, I think that you know, the Yankees are going to feel good about avoiding long streaks. He's going to throw up a clunker here at some point, but if you're looking at what Cole's doing right now, it's just phenomenal. He's made 20 starts now as a New York Yankee. He's 12-4. His ERA is 2.22. That's a little more than half a season. You're talking in a regular season of 162 games. Remember, last year was 60, and so far we're you know, about 40 into this one. Now you're talking about a guy who's probably, you know, started the All-Star game for you with numbers like that. His strikeouts to walks are amazing. They're 172 strikeouts, 20 walks so far. Gerrit Cole's a machine right now, and he's going to keep the Yankees really near the top of this race for all year, and that's what he's supposed to do. He's paid a lot of money for that, so he's delivering right now. The Yankees, offensively, we waited for them to get going, and now some injuries are getting in the way. The entire COVID situation with the coaching staff finally trickled down on one of the players. Gleyber Torres was placed on the COVID IL after testing positive. So he's down for 10 days, although that could get knocked down based on the testing results going forward here. I'm a little foggy on that, but it does appear that it might not be the full 10 days, and he is asymptomatic. So that is good news for as far as getting him back and making sure that, you know, he's not, you know, he doesn't need too much of a buildup again after being down. But Aaron Hicks dealing with a wrist issue, Gio Urshela a little uncomfortable still with the knee. Luke Voit is back off the IL, but again, bring him back along a little slowly. You know, the issues the Yankees have had just making sure that Aaron Judge stays strong. This is part of the start and stop for the offense that, you know, hasn't really taken off. And DJ LeMahieu is part of that too. We've seen him get, you know, go through a short spurt where he looks like DJ LeMahieu, but the power still hasn't taken off. And maybe that will as the weather starts to get warmer here and you're getting into the second month, and maybe he starts to find that hot streak. Giancarlo Stanton cooled down a little bit, but I still think you feel good about his at-bats and his results and where he is overall. He still looks confident up there. Rest of the lineup is struggling, and these guys, I don't know if there's an easy answer here. Gary Sanchez hasn't found his footing, obviously. Kyle Higashioka has gotten more playing time, but he's cooled off after a hot start with the bat. Miguel Andujar is getting a chance right now. He has not provided anything yet. Mike Ford is a fill-in, nothing. Clint Frazier, lost. Brett Gardner hasn't done much. There are a lot of people here who just aren't doing anything, and it needs to start happening now as the Yankees try to get into position to, you know, really push themselves forward here. They're still trailing the Red Sox. They don't face the Red Sox until early June, and that's kind of that'll be kind of interesting because the Red Sox, you know, they got off to a good start, and I don't know a lot of people who really felt that they were going to be a strong contender this year, but maybe we were all wrong. The depth issues will certainly be tested as the season goes along, but right now they're a team that you have to take seriously because they're in first place and you're creeping up towards Memorial Day, which is one of the traditional markers. You're almost at the quarter pole here, nearing the 40-game mark, and a good measure of who a team has been over the course of the first part of the season. So we'll see what happens there. But now as you get, as I said, closer to Memorial Day, there's going to be a bigger focus on players' results and no longer just a slow start, but then trying to improve who you are through trades. And the trade deadline is still far away. It's at the end of July, and most deals don't happen until then, but you're going to have to start focusing on this more now. The amateur draft is usually an area where a lot of a lot of teams focus their attention, and it's usually the first week in June, and then teams kind of start assessing their needs at the major league level with trade possibilities. Well, that the draft has been pushed back this year, and I think it opens up a little bit more of kind of open season on trades, maybe some more possibilities in June than there used to be. So we're going to get there really fast, and teams are going to have to start to decide how much they can afford, how much longer they can afford to run with guys who are off to slow starts or underperforming, and figure out how best to serve their needs. Offensively, it's a struggle all over the league, and that is certainly a topic of discussion. But the Yankees have a lot of people really in the bottom half of that order every night who are under 200 and trying to figure out how to get some consistency there and push themselves forward. As I said, in a year when Gerrit Cole is pitching like he is, and you have a bullpen that's performing like it is, with guys like Aroldis Chapman and Jonathan Loaisiga and Chad Green, and guys who are really set up for this, Zach Britton will be coming back soon. You need to start figuring out how best to move forward and get a little bit more consistency out of that lineup on an everyday basis. I want to make sure you go back if you've subscribed here. Hopefully you've heard it. But if not, make sure you go back. Our last episode on this WFAN Baseball Insiders was a conversation with Julio Mascaro, who is the manager of the AA Somerset Patriots. And I talked to him very briefly about the hot start that Esteban Florial got off to for AA. Really, his first stop at AA, between a lot of start and stops with injuries, he hadn't progressed above A ball. Still one of the Yankees' top prospects, but now he's 23. And had himself a good spring and got off to a really hot start in the first week at AA Somerset. Now, he has since cooled off. First three games this week, I think he only has one hit, took a couple of offers. So the overall numbers have come crawling back down a little bit. But I think it's still kind of enlightening to hear what Julio Mascara had to say about where Florial is mentally and physically and how he feels, kind of getting off to a good start this season. So please go back and listen to that one. You'll also want to check out the 30 with Murdy podcast, which you'll also find on Odyssey and Apple Podcasts and wherever you find all these podcasts. My recent conversation is with Chris Chambliss, the former Yankee and the former Yankee hitting coach, owns 6 World Series rings with the Yankees, 2 as a player, 4 as a coach. He was the hitting coach for the 1996 to 2000 Dynasty New York Yankees. And with so much focus on hitting style, hitting approach, what hitting coaches are doing now, and what do they do when hitters slump? What's their job? What's their responsibility when a hitter is struggling? How much responsibility do they take in what a hitter's going through and how to get them out of it? That's all part of a conversation I had with Chris Chambliss, who's spent a lifetime first being a really, really good hitter in the big leagues and then being a very successful hitting coach in the big leagues. And that's some of the things that we discussed. So go to the 30 with Murdy podcast and you can listen to that conversation with Chris Chambliss. So the Yankees now will head to Baltimore. The road trip continues. They have 3 games in Baltimore, 4 next week in Texas. And I want to remind you to subscribe to WFAN's Baseball Insiders. You'll get Ed Coleman's Mets reports and my Yankees reports delivered to you twice every week. I want to thank you all for listening. I'm Sweeney Murdy.